Jesus came to do the will of the Father. He came into this world not to sit idle, not to have people serve him, but he came to work. Came to do the work of the Father. You know, throughout the Bible, we see how God has always intended for men to be involved in meaningful work. Even in the Garden of Eden, that paradise place, in Genesis 2:15, he put man in the garden to do what? Tend it. So even in that most beautiful place, there was still meaningful work that Adam was to do in the garden. And so he didn't want Adam to sit around idle. The Bible throughout talks about and condemns the lazy man, the lazy person, condemns laziness. The word lazy, having the idea of sluggish, slothful, not willing to exert oneself. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul addresses this when he writes to Christians there in Thessalonica. He says there in verse 10 and following, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies." Not working at all. And while we will talk briefly about physical work, I want to focus on working in the kingdom and applying these verses in the Old and New Testament to doing work in the kingdom, promoting the kingdom, helping the kingdom to expand. In Romans chapter 12, verse 11, Paul wrote to the church in Rome about our passion for doing the work of the Lord, not seeing it as a chore, but seeing it as something of great importance. In Romans chapter 12, verse 11, he writes, "Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." See, we're not supposed to be lagging in diligence when we're working for the kingdom. We're to be fervent, on fire. Because this is the most important work we do. The work we do for the Lord, the work we do for the church, for the kingdom, is the most important work we do. And so when we look at all of what the Bible talks about concerning work and the right attitude toward work and not being lazy, let us especially apply it to the work of the kingdom, working in the vineyard. So who does the Bible say is the lazy man? The book of Proverbs talks so much about work and those who don't work. So we're going to spend a lot of time in Proverbs. Let us start by looking in Proverbs 21 at one of the types of the lazy man that the wise man writes about. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 25, we see one description of the lazy person. In verse 25, he writes, "The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor." You see that? He has a desire, but he simply won't put forth any effort to achieve that desire. We might say he daydreams about riches, but won't work for them. That's the lazy man. Now, if we apply that to church, which would be almost like saying, here's a person who daydreams and desires a growing congregation, a congregation that is continuing to serve the community, a congregation that's involved in mission work, desires those things, but put forth no effort himself. That's this person. In Proverbs 13, going back a few pages, he says in verse 4 of that, "The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." See, the lazy man simply won't put forth the effort. He wants things to be done, and he has a great desire for things to be done, but this person simply won't do it himself, or won't even try to do it. Won't put forth any effort in the least. In chapter 19, verse 24, he's seen like this. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. See, he has a desire to eat, but won't even put his hand into the bowl to bring it to his mouth. So this person does the absolute least they can. And that person will not see his desires, his aims, his goals come to pass, because he's simply not willing to do what needs to be done. We talked this morning about how everybody can in some way, shape, or form be involved in evangelism of some kind. And we all, I think all of us have a desire for more to enter the kingdom. But desire, as these verses show, isn't enough. These people that we've been looking at have the desire. They want this and they want that, but they simply will do nothing to try and bring it about. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4, he says, "The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing." See, this person, instead of working for the future, doesn't do anything. Makes no plans for the future. Doesn't prepare for the future. So when we talk about the Lord's kingdom, when we talk about the church, this is the person who makes no plans for the church to grow, doesn't make any plans for personal work, doesn't make any plans for benevolence, doesn't make any plans at all. Doesn't prepare in any way. So he's not, we might say, storing up for the future. Back in chapter 10 of Proverbs, here puts it like this in verses 4 and 5. He says, "He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame." And again, thinking about the work of the church. When Jesus came into this world, he didn't sit around and talk about a lot of things. He came and did a lot of things. He wasn't idle. He didn't waste his time. He came to this world on a mission, and everything was focused on that mission, accomplishing that mission. And he didn't let side issues keep him from accomplishing that, because it was so important. And so that's how we need to think about the work of the church. We have a lot of things that are important, but the work of the church and bringing glory to God through it should be at the top. Remember the one talent man? You know, there's a man that had 10 talents, a man that had 5, then there had this guy that only had 1. And maybe he thought, well, because I have 1, no one's going to expect much, so I'm not going to do anything. But that wasn't what the master said to him. You know what he called him? Lazy. That was the word. You're lazy. Because you were given something. You were given 1 talent. So what was expected? Well, 1 talent's worth was expected. But he did nothing with it at all. And so for us, certainly the application is, whatever it is that we have, whatever abilities or resources or opportunities or whatever, that's what he wants us to do. He doesn't expect us to go out and preach to 100,000 people in a stadium. That's not what he expects. He doesn't expect us to build a crystal cathedral here in Granby. He doesn't expect those type of things. But he does expect what he's given each of us, he does expect us to use that in whatever way we can. So while the physical application is important, the spiritual one for the church is far more. Jesus said, just look out among you, the harvest is white. It's ripe. So that's what you need to think about. What can you do? So that's the picture in the Bible of the lazy person. But what causes it? What causes laziness? And there's probably a number of things when we look at the Bible that precede someone becoming lazy and putting forth no effort, being sluggish and slothful. Certainly one is a lack of motivation. We might say staying in bed too long. Staying in bed too long. In Proverbs chapter 6, we're told to look at others and learn. Look at others and learn. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. You'll recognize this once we begin to read it. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. It says, look at the ant. Look at how the ant accomplishes its mission. Look at her characteristics or look at its means. It doesn't even have to have a ruler telling it what to do constantly. And we don't either. You know, we've been given, you might say, our marching orders. We know what we need to do. We know what we want to try and accomplish. So we don't have to have someone standing over us. Because each of us, again, have our own abilities and means and opportunities in trying to promote the kingdom. So we need to use our time wisely. Paul told the church in Ephesus to walk carefully, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. We don't have much time. You know, Jesus' ministry basically started when he was 30 and lasted for 3 years or so. And so Jesus knew that his time was limited. That's why he didn't waste time. He didn't waste time. He redeemed it. So we've been given so much time and God wants us to use it in the best possible way. In Proverbs 24, the wise man tells us, beginning in verse 30, I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. And notice the same words. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Ending was the same. He said, "This look at the field of the lazy man. There's all thorns and weeds and it's all grown up. Fences were broken down. He didn't take care of it. Didn't take care of it. And what a lesson for us about our mission. We have to take care of it. No one is going to do it for us. That is certainly the idea. There's so much to do, we can't simply lie down on the job. Idleness often leads to laziness as well. In Proverbs 19, verse 15, the wise man tells us, verse 15, laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Many get used to not working and like it. But Jesus was never idle. When you read Mark's account of the gospel, you see the word in the King James, straightway. In other versions, immediately. Mark uses that expression over and over and over again to describe various things that Jesus did. He didn't wait around to do them. He knew they had to be done, so he straightway did them. He did them immediately. He certainly didn't wait until he felt like it to do it. If you teach public school, you hear that quite a bit. Just don't feel like it. I'll do it when I feel like it. Or what's worse, I'll do it at home. They never do anything at home. So we learn that. We have to exercise ourselves. We feel better when we exercise. Well, spiritually, that's what we're told. We're told to exercise ourselves. Therefore, we will be better equipped, better able to carry out the mission of the church if we exercise ourselves spiritually. This is what Paul told Timothy that he must do. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, Paul tells Timothy, "But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself toward godliness." See, there's effort involved, there's work involved, there's diligence involved. "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Exercise ourselves toward godliness. Exercise ourselves spiritually. That way we will be better trained to do the work of the Lord. The lazy man also likes to make excuses for why he's lazy, why he's not doing the work he needs to do. In Proverbs 22, verse 13, the lazy man says, "There's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets." Very unlikely that there was going to be a lion walking down the street. But because there was a remote possibility that there might be a lion walking down the street, he said, "I'm going to stay inside and do nothing because I might be killed if I go outside." Well, that's what the lazy man does, makes excuses. "I can't do it. I can't do it for this reason or that reason or whatever." And so the lazy man wants others to do the work for him so that he won't have to do it. But all of us need to be promoting the kingdom and doing what we can. And finally, notice what laziness produces. In Proverbs chapter 12, we see one of the things that laziness produces in lives. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24. Proverbs 12, verse 24. "The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor." The lazy man is going to be controlled by other people. Now, when think about that spiritually. And I think this is one of the root causes of so many people following false doctrine and teaching. They don't put forth the effort to see what they're hearing, whether it's true or not. So if that person is lazy and won't study their Bible and won't check their Bible, then they'll end up being fair game for all kinds of teaching. But the diligent man, the wise man, the man of understanding, knows that he needs to be well versed. So that when something is taught, then he'll know whether it's true or not. See, the lazy man is going to be controlled by other people because he won't put forth the effort to study. Study's hard work. Study is hard work. And therefore, for many people, they simply won't put forth the effort. But this is the most important book to study. The most important. And therefore, we have no excuse not knowing what it says. The lazy man wastes his life. In Proverbs 18, verse 9, we're told, "He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer." The lazy man destroys his life. The lazy man wastes his life. He could be producing something good, but because he's not diligent, because he's not motivated, because he doesn't want to get out of bed, then he ends up wasting his life, which means he destroys it because he simply won't work. In Proverbs 24, verse 3 and following, remember what that said when we read it? I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding, and there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Surfer was covered with nettles, its stone wall was broken down. See, it was destroyed. It was useless because the man wasn't willing to work. So it was a waste. That field was a waste. It could have been producing something good, but because the man was lazy, nothing good was coming from it. So it was a waste. It was being destroyed. And laziness leads to hunger and poverty. And we know it does physically, but it does spiritually as well. In Proverbs 19, verse 15, the wise man tells us, laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Idleness, laziness leads to hunger and poverty. Remember, Jesus used, in John's account of the gospel, he used the idea of living water and the bread of life to describe himself. It says, he who comes to me and drinks of my water will never thirst again. So laziness leads to that spiritual poverty, leads to spiritual hunger, spiritual thirst. The lazy man has to realize his condition. And that's the first step. Must realize that he is lazy. And then he must do something to improve his condition. He must see the big picture. And often that's hard to do. Often it's hard to see the big picture. But we need to. We need to realize that, like Jesus said, even if you give a cup of water to one of these, you'll receive a reward. So everything we do to help the kingdom in any way is going to help the kingdom. Nothing is too small. God, again, doesn't expect us to convert every single person on the planet. Doesn't expect one person to convert everybody on the planet. He just expects that person to be faithful and a good steward of what he was given. Whatever resources and talents that person has, that's all God expects him to use. And that's what he wants us to do. Use what we have, whatever that is, to try and promote, to try and help the kingdom grow. Whether it's next door or halfway around the world, he wants us to do what we can. And it's an important lesson. Yes, time is running out. Time is running out. We don't know how much time we have left. Some of the people we're planning on talking to about Christ, their time is running out. And we don't have any idea how much time they have left or how much we have left. That's why Jesus talks about how the harvest is ripe. Now is the time to do it. Not put it off. Hopefully we don't find ourselves in that lazy category. But if we do, the wonderful thing is we can do something about it. We can do something about it. Because there is so much wonderful work to do in the kingdom. Tonight, if there's a need that you have, whether it's to come and ask the congregation for prayers or whatever the reason might be, we encourage you not to put it off, but come as we stand and sing this song.